Good evening. Happy New Year's Eve, December the 31st, 2019. I know I promised you a full featured prediction show before the new year, but I failed you. I just need to know that. I failed you. My sister invited me to the casino. I told her I don't have casino clothes. She said I don't need to have special clothes to go to this casino. I told her I don't really have casino money. That was a little bit of a lie, but not entirely false. But finally, I relented when she said that she would give me a little bit of casino money and buy me dinner at the casino. And I love my sister, and I love my nephew, and he's heading back to the ancient battlefields of the future tomorrow to be a part of the pirate navy, and I want to see him before he goes. This is not going to be a long podcast. For that reason, for other reasons, I'm really letting you down. But that's okay. Kind of off balance. It's weird. Kind of off balance. I can't really find my bearings right now. Can you hear the wuffle willows gristling in the night? Can you? You fuck. Father Time, you son of a bitch, are you stealing another year from us? Father Time? Father Time, are you gonna steal some more time for us, you old nasty old fuck? Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I do intend to do a kind of predictions episode, but you know me, I'm always making wild-ass guesses. I'll let you on a little hint. That whole Powell was going to go to QE4 prediction I made about a year ago. Well, we all know he did that, but he did it in a stealth bomber. So now Powell, Fed Chairman Powell, has the power of what's called push-button quantitative easing. And push-button quantitative easing is sexier than the magic fingers they used to have at the fucking motel. And it was a motel, not a hotel. That's where you got the magic fingers. You would put a few quarters into the machine, the bed would shake. Those were magic fingers in your bed, and Powell now has push-button QE. He's got a guy named Gus in the basement at the Eccles building. Good old Gus has a button, and it just says money. And every time he pushes that button, $20 billion is made available with no strings attached. It's not even real repo, baby. It's called push-button QE. You need a billion? You're short? Here's $1 billion. You need $20 billion. Oh, okay. Okay, Jamie Dimon. Here's $20 billion. Now you can buy all your hookers a diamond in 2020. Every hooker gets a diamond in 2020. Every hooker gets a diamond in 2020. Even the hookers of Little Saigon. So that's right, I owe you guys better. I owe you guys better, and you're getting the dregs and the dribs, and then I'm going to the casino. Now, of course, going to the casino is not quite as mysterious, luxurious, adventurous as it once was. It's really just another means of losing money. It's just another means of the system taking a few bucks out of your pocket. That's why the best advice I can give to anybody who goes to the casino, just like the Fonz would say, point A, don't bring your credit card or your debit card to the casino. Don't bring your credit card or your debit card to the casino. Don't bring any money to the casino. Just bring a generous sister and make sure it's that holiday time of year. Do not bring a credit card, that's A. Don't bring a debit card, that's B. And don't bring any fucking cash to the fucking casino. Some listener sent me a link about Amish people in Michigan driving drunk while driving the horse and buggy. Now, I gotta say, folks, here's my deal about the Amish and about the Mennonites and about any group of people that more or less wants to live separate, alone, according to their own rules, and says fuck you to globalism forever because. The Amish were the original anti-globalists. Did you realize that? In so many ways, the Amish have been the most anti-globalist group in the history of the world, and God bless them, and I mean that seriously. God bless them for saying fuck you to globalist bullshit. You might not be a Christian like me, or you might be a better Christian than me, which is means if you're a Christian, there's good odds in that. I'm going to the casino, remember? I don't think I'm going to see Jesus there. I might see some friends of Lucifer at the casino. I might even see friends of Beans, my sister's French bulldog, at the casino. You never know. The casino is a place for running into strange people. You go to the casino to change your life. But yeah, these Amish people were drinking and driving their fucking, their horse and their buggies. And I've noted in recent podcasts, and again, this is just intuition, but I've just sort of sensed this trend in the journalism and the narrative that, they're setting up Amish people, I think, and people like that to basically be targeted. And so don't be surprised if you read articles about underground organ trading rings and people selling illegal OxyContin and heroin and crocodile and white slavery. And all of it will lead back to the Amish. And will it be real? No. It'll be 100% made up. It's like this fucking drunk driving story. I haven't read the details yet. For that, I have an apology. But here's the deal. Chances are it's Rundspringa related, which is basically that time of season in a young Amish person's life where they basically figure out if they really want to be fucking Amish. And I kind of have respect for that little fucking tradition. Unlike the fucking Catholics that sheep dip every, oh, you're going to be a Catholic, you know what? You were 2 seconds old, and what we're going to do? We're going to cut off the end of your dick, and then we're going to dip you in holy Roman water. Yeah, fuck you, Vatican. Fuck you, Pope. I'd prefer the fucking Amish way. Figure out your shit. If you want to be with God, then be with God. If you want to be with Lucifer, then be with Lucifer. But figure out your fucking shit. What does Jesus say in Revelations, or rather John in his letters, based upon the opinions of Jesus, right? Be hot, be cold, but do not be lukewarm. Be hot, be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Anywho, for the listener that sent me the link, you should note I've been that fucking lazy of a dirtbag. My apologies for not reading it out loud. I told you this wouldn't be a long podcast. Fuck. Another listener, in fact, many listeners of mine, and now it's funny, I got a few that email me. Isn't that fucking funny? A few listeners of mine sent me a link from Zero Hedge about the Seattle Drains. Now, I gotta tell you something. If I was going to have a basketball team, maybe call it the first transgendered ultimate hypersexual basketball team, but put it in the NBA because they can't keep us out, man. They can't keep us down. I would call that basketball team the Seattle Drains. I would own the Seattle Drains if I could. They would have cheerleaders in skimpy little outfits. And you know what? Our mascot would be the plumber that shows up in the porn film. The Seattle Drains. Yeah, so a few listeners of mine sent me an article from Zero Hedge that I also read about a fucking company that rehabs old fucking steel fucking barrels and rehabs them and cleans them out and then takes the gumbus and dumps that shit in the Duwamish. Well, let's get a few things aside here, okay? I'm an anarchist, so if you're asking me what is the reason why this happened, it is government. And if you say, no, Dan, it's not enough regulation, listen, buddy. If you have lawyers, you have corruption. If you have regulations, you have corruption. In fact, almost by definition, you need lawyers and regulation, you know, regulations to have corruption. The more of those you have, the more complexity you have, the more likely the system fails, which is another fancy name for, you know, CA, corruption. So it's a very corrupt system. I don't really know the truth. If I'm supposed to believe this fucking story, these fucking Northwest lawyers helped us and saved us. But what if the truth is something different, folks? The Duwamish River has been a Superfund site for a very long time. Now, I once moored a sailboat at the South Park Marina on the Duwamish. Now, if you know Seattle, you know how edgy that is. Yeah, that was the summer of my many mistakes. I call that the summer of my many mistakes, the summer of 2009. Just about a decade ago. Yeah, I moored a fucking boat at South Park Marina, folks. That place is sketchy. But I also was working on the boat one day, and it was a hot, sweaty day at the South Park Marina. And I believe it was August. And I was looking over the edge of the boat, and my glasses fell off. Now, you'd say, well, Dan, why didn't you immediately try to get your glasses? Okay, did I say the Duwamish River? Chances are, my glasses began dissolving about 15 seconds after they hit the bottom of the river. And when I say bottom in podcast land, you have to imagine sarcastic quotes. Because there's more than one bottom in the Duwamish. There's the layer of what I would call the gumbus layer. And the gumbus layer of the Duwamish River appears approximately 10 feet above the bottom. And so that is the first layer, and that layer is sticky and nasty. If you ever fall in the Duwamish and you get stuck in it, you're probably dead. So no, I didn't go and grab for my fucking glasses. And yeah, if I lived in more desperate times, like I was being chased by a mutant grizzly bear and I had to have those fucking glasses to run the laser cannon, then yes, I would have grabbed my fucking glasses out of the Duwamish. But like I said, probably 15 seconds after it got in there, after my glasses went in there, they started melting. Okay? So as horrible as this little Seattle Drain story, and as wonderful as it would be if there was a basketball team, a gay trans basketball team in Seattle, part of the NBA called the Seattle Drains, that would be awesome. I could be the coach. I could be the coach of the Seattle Drains. Wouldn't that be wonderful if Uncle Dan were the coach of the team? All those, yeah, people. Fuck. I better wrap this up, folks, because like I said, this can't be a long one. If I go 20 minutes, it's too long. If I go 20 minutes on this podcast, I will have failed, and I will miss the train, and I will miss the casino. So yeah, so let's wrap up the drain story. The Duwamish is a nasty place. And here's the other thing too, folks. I'm fairly certain that if an intelligent scientific environmentalist were to dig very deep, boy, phrasing, right? If they were to dig deeply enough or scratch the surface of the environment in the Puget Sound right now, what they would find, if it were like converted to an art form, would be like that one fucking painting, I think it's called Scream or something, that's really scary and just shows somebody screaming. If the Puget Sound were a painting, it would be that weird-ass painting of the Infinite Scream. That's how I feel right now. Now, I don't have the money to do the research. All I can tell you is what I see with my eyes, what I sense and I smell. Guess what? I was waiting for the bus about a year ago. I know what hydrogen sulfide smells like, people. I know what dead and dying things smell like in the ocean, and there was a cloud of it. And most of the people just kept staring at their fucking phones. Because I'm sure there was a weather alert that said, oh boy, some type of weird fucking clam event, you know, in the Hood Canal. That, I mean, that's the kind of shit they come up with now. Or they say, we have no idea. There's a dead zone in the Pacific, but we don't know why it's there. Lots of animals are washing up dead. We don't know. Fucking orca whales can't stand the Puget Sound, but who knows why? They're not eating, they're dying, they're not having sex, they're like fucking Japanese. Except that they don't like to fuck Japanese, so that's not gonna solve it. Yeah, ever since, and it wasn't just Fukushima, folks. Probably this goes back until I was a kid, but it was Fukushima that woke me up. But ever since Fukushima, I read these fucking stories, and it'll be like some professor will be quoted in the Seattle Times saying, well, shit, you know, it looks like there's horrible crap happening in the Pacific and lots of starfish are melting, but we don't really know why. There are a lot of dicks washing up on the Pacific coast and it looks gross as fuck, but we'll tell people it's normal as fuck too. Oh, shark attacks, they're going up. Guess what? We can spin that. It's the health of the ocean, yeah. The shark attacks indicate the ocean is healthy. Or maybe the sharks are starving. It's kind of like pirates, folks. I mean, whatever you want to say about thieves, thieves are thieves. If somebody steals stuff from you, steals your fucking money, attacks you, abuses you, if someone's a fucking pirate, a real life pirate, they're a piece of shit, okay? They're a violent piece of shit. And the sad truth is, most of the pirates on planet Earth right now, they wear government uniforms. They have government-sounding names. They have government ID cards. Most of the pirates on planet Earth right now, like 99.9% of them, they run the world. So yeah, I joke about America being a Death Star. You know what's a more horrible thought that most of you don't want to fucking even think about? The world is basically a bunch of Death Stars now. And all the Death Stars are looking for shit to power their Death Stars. I know I'm oversimplifying, but that's kind of the fucking deal. And if you dig very deeply into how any of the Death Stars work, you will find poisons galore. I don't really give a shit about the basic question, does CO2 poison the world? Because here's the deal, folks. I know, as a matter of scientific fact, that just about everything can be poisonous at a certain concentration, including CO2. Guess what? Too much CO2 in your home, not enough oxygen, you die, okay? You die in your sleep, probably. So CO2 might be the chemical of life, but like all chemicals, a little bit too much, and it could kill you. That being said, I have no idea if what I'm seeing is a result of global warming. And as far as what Dane Wigington says, holy fuck, I have no idea if he's right. I look at the clouds, and they do not in any way remotely look like the clouds of my youth. They don't. The gray skies don't look like gray skies. They look like these smeared out, nasty-ass, silvery fucking plains of Gumbus. In fact, yeah, if you took a picture at the bottom of the Duwamish, and then you turned it black and white, and you took a picture of one of these nasty gray-ass gray sky days, scary thought, I think the two things would look very similar. And you can meditate on that shit. But what I can tell you is it doesn't look healthy. And I don't feel healthy breathing in this nasty air. In fact, it feels like it makes people sick, including me. So I don't know what's happening, folks. But like always, I'm fairly certain I'm being lied to. And when you're being lied to, you can use logic to ask the simple questions of why. Why are we being lied to on a monumental scale? So yes, 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 the Seattle drains, a company, you know, cleaning out fucking steel barrels, gets caught dumping the Gumbus. One more thing I'll say. When I got out of the Army in 99, and this is in a previous podcast, so reference, you know, alert, I'm about to repeat a story. But I discussed this in a previous podcast. But when I got out of the service, I took this job for a company that basically made food containers. You know, the cans that the soup go in, the soup and the beans, the lima beans, the Spam, they make containers. Anyways, they make containers, and containers have coatings. And a coating is just a fancy word for paint. And paint is just a fancy word for something that contains volatile organic compounds and other types of poisons. And basically shit you don't want to dump in the water. You want to take care of it. Well, I was working this job, and I was there for only a few weeks. I mean, believe me, it didn't last long. And I was a management trainee, okay? And I saw these dudes come in one day. It was basically kind of late in the day. I think it was around 8 p.m. Very late in the day. And again, this is a multi-shift plant. So when I say 8 p.m., there's more than one shift operating. Well, around about 8 p.m., these dudes roll up, and they're dressed in really nice suits. So you know something? My dad was a logger. I've been around hard hat types. Hard hat types don't do hard hat jobs in suits unless they're doing something fucking shady. So these guys show up in suits, and the cans get loaded in the back of their truck, and they get paid in cash. Well, guess what? In general, if it's 1999 or later, and somebody's paying you in cash, it's probably because you're doing something you're not supposed to do. Now, does that mean I hate cash? No. No, 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 I don't. It's just that these are basically bureaucratic organizations, and if they're doing something like this, it's probably because they're afraid they're going to get caught. So if you want to ask me, do I think that it's weird or abnormal for companies to be dumping shit into rivers? No. In fact, the scary reality is if you dug deep enough in the Puget Sound area, specifically in Seattle, you'd probably find hundreds or thousands of companies doing this large scale and small scale. And that's the thing, folks. It doesn't have to be large scale. This is what a lot of people don't get about pollution in cities. If all of us act like jackasses, let's say 100,000 people in Seattle decide to use a lot of chemicals to have a nice lawn, a nice green lawn, a nice green lawn like Monsanto or Bayer now says you should. 100,000 people in Seattle decide to have a nice green lawn. Well, that sounds great. And then you pour the chemicals and then it rains. So even though you didn't have a giant spill of chemicals, I hate to break it to you, and I'm sorry, this is just a math problem. The net effect of all that shit you put on your lawn to have a nice green fucking lawn is poisoning the Puget Sound. And if you think that's an exaggeration, this is happening all around the Puget Sound. No amount of, oh, we use organic pesticides. What the fuck is an organic pesticide? If it contains shit, if it contains stuff like shit, if it contains the chemicals that are useful in shit to make things grow, guess what? It'll poison water. I don't care how organic you think your fucking pesticide is. It's like somebody saying, well, Native Americans, when they used to plant corn, they'd put a salmon head in first. Yeah, and guess what? If you dumped 50 billion tons of salmon heads into the Puget Sound all at once, that would probably be bad. In fact, that by itself could be a catastrophe. And oh boy, salmon heads are organic. Yes, that's fucking irrelevant. You clever fucking monkey. And anyways, I'm going too long on this and I'm beating up on you. You're a listener, which means you're not stupid. You're empowered by the truth. True, you listen to a drifter like me. And you gotta be careful about listening to drifters. You gotta be careful about listening to drifters, folks. Be careful about listening to drifters. They're the kinds of people that always have a shady scheme going. But for all of you guys out there listening to this drifter, I hope you have a great New Year's. I know that life is crazy. I've had some interactions with some of you folks, and I know it's fucking hard. And truly, I have it better than a lot of people. Probably most people. The life I live, the scale I live at, I am... I have food, I have water, I have shelter. I have people that give a shit about me. Like, actually, I think 60% of my family would care if I died. And I gotta be honest with you, those are pretty good fucking numbers for Uncle Dan. So, I'm lucky. And for all you folks out there who feel like you're not lucky right now, and look into the future and wonder, can we humans make it? Let me give you an answer. The same clever monkeys that dug their grave can probably fill it in. I believe that. I know that we're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to give up. I'm not going to give up. It's not to say that I don't think we have problems. I do. And it's not to say that I don't think we're going to have challenges. Oh, we're going to have big challenges. You know, I think that whatever happens, what's about to happen, will look a lot like the general story in Barbara Tuchman's A Distant Mirror. So if you've never read A Distant Mirror by Barbara Tuchman, I highly recommend it before it's too late and get yourself a hard copy. Because see, Barbara Tuchman, see chaos. If you want to know why I recommend a hard copy of a book at this point, please see one, and that one says just chaos : electricity and electronic books, people. You got to think about this shit. You should have books that don't require charging, and definitely have a Bible that doesn't require charging. I would have some Nietzsche and some Ayn Rand. They don't require charging. And have some Edgar Allan Poe and H.P. Lovecraft, because that shit is going to pick you up. That'll be the shit. Those days you're running from the Gumbus freaks, from the mutoids, those days that the orcas have taken and killed 100 of your folk and the clansmen must seek revenge, on those hard days to come where you'll be eating some type of a mixture in a bowl and you'll use a straw because why not to eat it? Fuck, it's the same kind of consistency. Why not use a fucking straw? On those days, you'll say, I wish I had listened to Dan and gotten myself a few barrels of books instead of buying into my little fucking tablet bullshit. I wish I had those books now. Yeah, folks, get a couple books that don't require charging. Just a few. And have a great evening. And like I said, despite the bullshit, despite good old Uncle Dan being dark as fuck, I am saying prayers to God, and I'm saying prayers for all of you, and I'm saying prayers for myself and the people I love. And I don't see a reason to give up. Maybe that's stupid. Maybe it's a lot like beans, you know? You can't play fetch with beans. And as dark as I am, as fucked up as this sounds, I still don't see a reason to give up.